The topic of this lecture, in case you haven't seen, I believe it's loving exchanges with the devotees. Rather broad topic, but important topic. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami tells us that there are three stages of pure devotional service. Devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, and devotional service in pure love of God. So for most of us, we're presently in the stage of devotional service called devotional service in practice. And devotional service in practice begins with faith, some interest. So everyone who came here, they had some interest. And as we advance, then we want to find out how to satisfy our whatever inquisitiveness we have so we can experience more of Krishna consciousness. So that's called sadhu sangha, and that's what we have now. We have a little opportunity to reveal our minds, to explain something about our realizations in Krishna consciousness. That's called sadhu sangha. That I have some experience in Krishna consciousness, you have some experience in Krishna consciousness, and we're trying to find out what we can learn in order to practice better. So that's called bhajana kriya. In other words, every stage of devotional service has a purpose, has a means, an activity, and then it has a purpose behind it. So the purpose of trying to give people faith is that they'll come and hear about Krishna. And the purpose of their hearing about Krishna is they can do something practical. In other words, if we sit here and we told you stories, or even a few jokes, hopefully you'd all laugh. And then you hopefully you'd say, well, that was a good class. And then someone would say, well, what did they say? And you'd say, well, I don't know. It was something about, I think it was Krishna, I'm not so sure. Yeah, that's right, it was about Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's it. In other words, the success in the class would be if you walked out of here and remembered at least one thing I said. Not only remember one thing, but you thought you remembered one thing that you could do to help improve your Krishna consciousness and your devotional service. And if you walk out of here and you say, I forget that joke. It's a good joke. I should tell someone else the joke. That wasn't a very valuable class. So bhajana kriya means something practical to put into action. And even there, it's broken down into different things. In other words, Krishna consciousness is actually dealing with something quite subtle, although it appears, for the most part, that there's very practical activities. Just like here, I'm sitting here giving class, and you're there listening, and it seems that it doesn't really matter what you say. I'm a good person because I came to the class. And he's a good person because he gave the class. So that's a practical activity. And afterwards, we become even better when we eat prasadam. And finally, the class is over. And if it stimulated my appetite, it was a good class. But bhajana kriya is actually quite subtle. It's actually trying to change our consciousness in a way which is understandable. And I won't go into all the details, but at least I'll explain some of them. And what's called bhajana kriya in our practice, one of the things we're trying to give up is this attitude that I know everything, or practically everything. Krishna knows everything, and next to Krishna, there's Krishna and myself, we're pretty close, and whatever he knows, he tells me. Sometimes Radharani also, but anyhow, mostly it's Krishna. So this is called Utsahamayi. We're experiencing, in the beginning, we experience something in Krishna consciousness beyond the normal, and therefore we think we're beyond the normal. Everyone else is in Maya. and I'm enlightened. Because we don't know what the actual extent of Krishna consciousness is. We don't know how vast the ocean of transcendental knowledge and pleasure is, and we mistake one drop of it, or a fraction of a drop, for the whole ocean. And that goes on to things like Vyuta Vikalpa, Niyamakshama, trying to become steady in our consciousness and our activities, trying to give up mental speculation, trying to give up our attachment to sense gratification, trying to become a little bit more fixed in our activity, in our timings and our regulations, and that not trying to become, when we get some result, not try to enjoy them, the result, too much. Enjoying them means that instead of focusing our attention on service to Krishna, we focus our attention on the opportunities to enjoy the results of our service. So that's supposed to lead to anartha nirvritti. Anartha nirvritti means that if you want to find out if you have any anarthas, then just sit down for 5 minutes and chant a round of japa. And then write down everything that comes to your mind. Of course, write down all the pastimes of Krishna. You know, if it takes you a while to write down the pastime of Krishna that came through your mind, that's good. Then you can submit that and it can be included in the Krishna book. But there may be a few other things that come through your mind also. So those are called anarthas. And anartha nirvritti is supposed to help us get free from those anarthas, those unwanted thoughts, there are four kinds of anarthas, and the principal anarthas, four anarthas, one of them is principal, which is called namaparad. There are different types of aparads, but namaparad is the center focus of making spiritual advancement. And the namaparad that I'm going to talk about today is blasting the devotees who have dedicated their lives in propagation of the holy name of the Lord. Now, devotional service begins with hearing, just like we're hearing now. And as I said, the object of hearing is to do something. But before we do something, we have to remember what we heard. Because as I said many times, unless we remember what we heard, then how can you do anything? If you go and study how to become, say, an aircraft mechanic, and you spend your whole weeks and weeks studying, and then they give you an airplane to fix, and you say, well, I can't remember anything. Well, try anyhow. Try and fix it. I can't remember what I'm supposed to do. No, anyhow, just experiment a little bit. If it doesn't work, you can pay the $50 million for breaking the aircraft. No, the whole idea of studying is to remember something. If we can't remember, just like people go to college or the university or even school, and they're forced to remember things, even things that they know are useless. And they generally remember things just as long as it's necessary, and then they forget them because they're useless. But devotional service is not supposed to be like that. We read something, and then we forget it. And they say, did you read anything today? And you guess, yes, I read. I read for 3 hours. What did you read? I can't remember. Can you remember the book? Give me a hint. No, that kind of reading is not going to be so valuable. It keeps us out of trouble, which is good. But it's just like Prabhupada gives the example of a student who's in class, and they're naughty. So the teacher tells them, stand in the corner. So they're standing in the corner, and they're just holding their breath, and you know, just waiting for the opportunity so they can go and do some more mischief. So similarly, if we practice devotional service, but we don't learn anything, we don't get realizations, we don't get some principles to apply within our lives, then it's not so helpful. Because that's really what we want, is some principle that we can apply, utilize in practical life. Otherwise, it just remains all theoretical. And theoretical knowledge is not very enjoyable. We want the experience of Krishna consciousness. So we have to remember what we hear, but just remembering like a parrot won't help us very much either. We have to know what we're trying to do, what we're trying to do specifically in our lives, what the direction is. Therefore, if we get a whole viewpoint of what we're trying to accomplish, then it makes life much easier. So if we remember in the right way for the right reason, then and then we try to assimilate how to apply it practically, then we should know what we're trying to do, what we're trying to apply. And as I mentioned before, Sri Rupa Goswami says, we're trying to apply it in four fields. Very easy to remember. There's only four fields of our activities. One of them is love Krishna. And that's, therefore, when we come to the, before the deities, one of the things we're trying to do is to love Krishna. In case you didn't know that. That's called Krishna consciousness. Love for Krishna. Now we can come before the deity and, you know, wonder why I'm there and maybe wonder, you know, how long is this going to go on for, or like the music or whatever else. It is pretty good. Good music. All right, go for it. So that's all right. At least we'll get a good appetite for prasadam. But ultimately what we're trying to do is actually experience Krishna's presence, both in the deity form, by serving the deity very nicely, but most of us may not be directly serving the deity. Of course, we can serve the deity by dancing before the deity, by chanting the names of Krishna before the deity. But we should do it in such a way as the deities please. And the deities please, we try to do it with some attention and some feeling, some love, some appreciation. Now love, generally speaking, the most one of the beginning forms of love is just appreciation. Or we could say even the more basic thing is just attention. Attention shows that there's some interest in the person. Just like if a man marries, if he's married and he has a wife, and the wife is always talking to the husband, the husband's always on his playing video games. Yeah, right. It's not the best way of developing a loving relationship. If you had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend's talking to you, and you're going, she'd probably find someone else to talk to. So the first and most basic thing is to show our love is to give some attention. And give some attention to Krishna. And then we could try to actually be happy. Happy means that we're not in anxiety. Everyone comes, everywhere we go, we're carrying around our quota of anxiety for the day. So many thoughts are going through our mind, and we go, oh, yeah, that's really serious, my God, I never... And it goes, yeah, that one's serious too. My God, you know, I don't have time for this Hare Krishna. You know, I got too many problems. I got to solve them. And then we chant japa. Yeah, this time for this japa is really good. It's all my problems come out, and I start thinking of solutions for them. And wow, I never realized I had so many problems before I started to chant Hare Krishna. Matter of fact, one devotee told me I can't chant because every time I chant, all of my problems come up, and there's too many of them. Chanting puts me in anxiety. Before, I was nice and peaceful because I had so many problems, I didn't know what they were. But as soon as I chant, my God, my whole mind is just filled with problems. So one has to make a resolve. I'm not going to solve all the world's problems, believe it or not, in 2 hours. I'm not even going to make a very good progress in solving the world's problems. Find out behind every controversy, Hare Krishna, yeah, 9/11, Hare Krishna, Krishna, coronavirus. I got it, all right. I got the solution. No, we're lucky if we can just avoid our own problems. I don't think anyone has ever solved their problems in a two-hour japa session. Yeah, I got free from all my problems. This Hare Krishna mantra is fantastic. You know, 2 hours and they're all gone. Just wiped off the map. No, there's so many problems. And even if we stay here from time immemorial, we've been here since time immemorial, even if we stay here another time immemorial, there'll still be enough problems to solve. Matter of fact, Prahlad Maharaj said that every time, one of the problems in the material existence is that I became expert at solving problems. But the problem with solving problems is that every time I solve the problem, I created five more problems to solve. So I really kept myself busy in material existence, solving problems. And the main problem is we're going to die. Sorry for the bad news. We get enough of it every day. And all our solutions are ultimately meant for that one problem are all going to fail. This is really pessimistic class. Are we going to walk out really depressed? I remember that class. Boy, that was depressing. So we have to chant offenselessly. So what's our main offense? What's our main problem? Is that we look around, we see everyone in the material world, and we have a solution to their problems. We think the only problem in the material world is that people don't take my solution to their problems. That's my only problem. So needless to say, that's a problem. And the solution to the problem is to understand we're not here to solve everyone's problems. We're here to solve our problem. And our problem is that we're trying to solve everyone else's problem. Except for our own problem. Queen Kunti said that. She said the problems in the material world are due to social interactions. And Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita also. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. That in the material world, if we want to become Prasanatma, if we want to become joyful, we should give up hankering and lamentation. And what is this hankering and lamentation? How does it manifest? It manifests in our interactions with others. For those who can give me something, they're my friends. For those who want to take something away from me, they're my enemies. So the whole world is full. Or those who can't, are not going to give me anything or take anything away, they're useless. If they disappeared, the world would be the same to me. And the whole world is meant for me, anyhow. The reason why the sun comes up in the morning is to shine on me. Otherwise, what's the use of the sun? It has no value. So this is material existence, and to overcome it, there is called devotional service. So our aim, our structure of all this knowledge, etc., first of all, is to please Krishna. But what's pleasing to Krishna? What is he doing? The material conception is that God is just, you know, we're all little pawns, and God is going, yeah, if I put the pawn here, let's see what happens. I'll put this pawn here. That's the material conception of God. But actually, Krishna, he's everyone's friend, and he wants everyone to engage in loving service to him, and also on behalf of him as his servant, to engage in loving service with his devotees. So our focus of attention begins with trying to love Krishna, and that love for Krishna expands to Krishna's energies, his part and parcels, the other living entities. So that's what we're trying to become. We're trying to become expert at service, not only to Krishna, but also to service to Krishna's devotees. And that's called the loving exchanges. So unless we understand that, then we won't understand how to interact with others. It becomes a mystery. You know, who is this person? What are they here for? What can they do for me? What are they going to do against me? Etc., etc. But if we understand our only business, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, is Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Aigai Guruhana Tari Desh. Whoever we meet, we're supposed to help them become Krishna conscious. That's our only relationship with every living entity. We have no other relationship other than that. Everything else is just a time, place, and audience. In other words, the way we treat a tiger in the zoo to help him become Krishna conscious, hopefully, is different the way we treat our wife to help her become Krishna conscious. And if it's not, then you really have a problem. That can be solved too, anyhow. Or our husband. In other words, there is a difference how we present Krishna consciousness to different persons and different living entities. So Rupa Goswami tells us that in his Nectar of Instruction, love is the only activity in devotional service. There's no other activity but loving service. And how that's given is according to the qualification of the person we're trying to serve. Now we serve higher authorities in different ways. Those who know more about love for Krishna, those who are more loving and more knowledgeable how to love and how to serve Krishna and the devotees, we serve them so that we can learn from them how to at least get as much knowledge as they have. So we see their example, we hear their instructions, and we try to apply in our lives in order to better serve other devotees who are more advanced than we are, to serve those who are on the same level that we are on, and to serve those who are less advanced than we are. So we take instructions from the higher authorities and their example to increase our loving exchanges with the devotees. Therefore, Prabhupada was quite concerned of how the devotees interact with each other. He wasn't concerned only with how they interacted with him. He was actually more concerned with how they interacted with each other. And Krishna is the same way. With the Prachetas, when Krishna saw the Prachetas were cooperating with each other in loving service to Krishna, then Krishna became very pleased with them and bestowed all his blessings upon them. Similarly, it says, even in an ordinary family life, when the husband and wife get along with each other, and then the goddess of fortune is there. So this is a principle. It can be done artificially, that you have your space and I have my space, and we get along with each other as long as you don't take up my space. But actually the principle is to actually think ourselves to be the servant of Krishna's servants and to see every interaction as an opportunity to serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees by taking example and taking instruction from higher authorities what to say, what to think, how to feel, what to do, to serve better everyone I come in contact with. So this is Bhagavad Gita. That's primarily what the instructions are meant for, not to give us a lot of philosophy so we can fill up a 30-minute class. And everyone can walk away and say, well, they knew a lot of verses. I don't know what it means, but anyhow, it seems pretty interesting. It spoke Sanskrit. But actually the class is meant for developing a loving devotional service, not only to Krishna, but also to Krishna's devotees. Now, as I pointed out, that at the time of initiation, what actually happens? When we throw the grains into the fire, what happens? Does anyone know? There's a lot of sound coming from the grains popping in the fire. That's what you usually have. A lot of ghee goes in there too, so the room's smelling pretty good if you like cooked ghee. And a lot of Sanskrit mantras are chanted generally. The demigods are invited. everyone, the forefathers, everyone's invited. But really, what happens? What is supposed to happen at the time of initiation? What is the change? Is it really that from my heart, all this black sinful reactions from my heart, you know, they kind of fly into the fire? Wow, look at that. Puff. And then whatever has remained goes right into the spiritual master. Wow, he looks a little darker than before. Is that what happens? What is actually supposed to happen at the time of initiation? And what's the change of consciousness? And what does spiritual mean? How do you know if you change your consciousness from material to spiritual? Yeah, serve Krishna, and serve who else? Yeah, we're supposed to think, that's good. We're supposed to think, now instead of becoming so-and-so from such-and-such place, and I'm, you know, I'm a male or female, I'm from Slovenia or Yugoslavia or America or from the moon, whatever. There are those are among us that we don't know. But anyhow, even they, when they take initiation, they give up that false identification and they think themselves dasa, dasa, anudasa. So that's how much seriously we've taken initiation, that's how much has actually affected us. How much we're actually identifying ourselves as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Of course, that doesn't mean that we serve everyone indiscriminately because we're accepting initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. But that bona fide spiritual master, under his directions, are supposed to give us the intelligence how to serve properly every devotee according to their level of advancement. So if the spiritual master is actually a transparent media, that he actually gives us the intelligence, the knowledge, and the example how to appropriately serve every other devotee. So we have one spiritual master initiating guru, and he teaches us how to become a servant of the other devotees appropriately. And if we don't become a servant of the other devotees, then the initiation has no meaning. Then we remain on the material platform. And as Prabhupada said, especially in the Western world, what we've been trained in is two activities. Modern education trains people in to do two specific things. Higher education is biology and chemistry. Biology means how to chase after the opposite sex, or the same sex, or whatever. And the other thing is how to fight. Modern education teaches people how to be envious of each other, fight with each other. I say black and you say white. I say white, you say black. And I say black and white. Just make sure we don't agree. And how to gratify one's senses, unrestrictedly if possible. And if there's some rule and regulation, we'll try to figure out how to end it. So that the only rule and regulation ultimately is that there are no rules and regulations. Or as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, which is the one part of Bhagavad Gita that most people accept nowadays, when Krishna says in the most important verse at the end of the 18th chapter, give up all varieties of religion. That's the one instruction everyone's following. So this is not very conducive for actually coming to the platform of loving exchanges. So we have to serve the higher authorities, and the higher authorities have to give us the intelligence how to serve everyone else appropriately. Then we can make advancement. Otherwise, if we don't do that, then we remain with our material conceptions and we may make a show of devotional service for some time, but internally, our relationship with the other devotees will not manifest itself in a positive way, nor with Krishna. Because if we fight with each other, we try to exploit each other, then the result is that we won't understand what Krishna's desires are. We can't really serve Krishna in the spiritual world because there's more than just me and Krishna. We can't, you know, Radharani can just step outside for a while. I just want to be with Krishna. And, you know, all these devotees, Krishna, you really don't need them because finally you got a real devotee in the spiritual world. That's not the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, even the house you live in is a devotee. So you got to have a good relationship with your house, or else they'll kick you out of it. The house will kick you out. Now, everything there is alive, everything is conscious, and everything is loving to Krishna and to all the other devotees. So that's where we have to practice. That's called devotional service and practice. And if we properly perform devotional service and practice, then we'll be able to perform devotional service in ecstasy. And from there, actual love of God will come. But unless we practice properly, we know the field of activities is to love the devotees. And ultimately, when we love devotees and create a family of devotees, not just a small family, but everyone feels himself as part of the same family, then the result is we'll have something to invite people to come to, the innocent people. If we fight with each other, if we're trying to exploit each other, there's not much enthusiasm to invite others to come. Yeah, come to our movement, you know. Come especially on Sunday. We have a big fight that goes on there. You probably enjoy the fight. Now people have enough fights, enough anxiety. But with this loving family, when everyone's cooperating for the same reason, then we have something to invite people to. Not just the feast, but also relationships with the devotees, which is the actual essence of what's enjoyable, relationships. And then from there, then people will be inspired to do something for the movement. People will work for their family. They won't necessarily just work for strangers. They'll work because they have some relationship. So if they have relationship, they'll be willing to sacrifice their energies and serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that way ultimately become what the reason for our movement is, to make pure devotees, people who are actually in love with Krishna, in love with Krishna's devotees, and willing to help the innocent, and have lost their taste for other activities. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes. Do we have a microphone here? Is that only during the week? Just now coming.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare.
Where to get or how to get the strength to become more steady in devotional service and also in these relationships with devotees?
Everything is practice. Suitable practice and detachment. That's why we read the books. We want to find out what we're not supposed to do and what we're supposed to do. And since we only have 24 hours a day, we have to figure out how my time is going to be spent and what I'm supposed to do. And if we practice that, then it becomes a habit. And after a while, a habit will become a character. So it's by practice, suitable practice.
Thank you.
Yes.
Is there any possibilities to please Krishna every day, even when the devotees are not around, even when you're all alone outside?
Well, you're never alone.
Okay.
The force is always with you. The force is, Krishna is in your heart. You can't escape him. We're 100%, 24 hours a day dependent on him, and he's always with us. And the words of the acharyas, the words coming into simple succession, the words of Krishna can always be with us. And that way Krishna is, and the words of the acharyas, the words of Krishna, they're not different from Krishna. So we can always associate with pure devotees. We can always associate with Krishna, if we want to, by remembering their instructions and serving them. So we're never outside association if we want it. But we have to become convinced that when we read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is personally talking to me. We have to become convinced from the Bhagavad Gita that it's from Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. It's not coming out of the air, it's coming from Krishna. And that every moment I have a relationship with Krishna. I just have to utilize I have to develop the relationship in the right way by doing the right things, understanding things in the right way. Then automatically my relationship with Krishna, by Krishna's grace, will develop.
Thank you.
Sometimes you have like a bad relationship with some devotee and you want to make it better, but he doesn't want to. So what to do then? So you have either option to tolerate or to fight back, or there's then maybe any third option? Or?
Well, find someone you can have a nice relationship with. First of all, try to understand things properly, so that at least they may not want to have a good relationship with us. But if you say that we want to have a good relation with them, then we ask Krishna, we use our intelligence, and see if it's possible. And if not, then just avoid associating with them. We're not here to force anyone to have a good relationship with us. Find someone you can have a good relationship with.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes. The microphone is coming.
We maybe done something wrong or insult somebody in our relation with another bhakti, how can we correct that? What is the best way, proven way?
If it's clear what we know what we did wrong, we can ask for forgiveness for what we did wrong. And go to the devotee and ask for forgiveness. Or if we're not clear we did anything, that would be pretty simple if it's clear what we did wrong. Now if they didn't notice it, then still we should do that. At least we'll feel, we'll... And if they refuse to accept our apology, then we chant Hare Krishna incessantly. Pray to Krishna for forgiveness.
Thank you.
And try to correct what we did wrong. Matter of fact, everything we do in the material world was wrong. If we try to correct everything we did wrong, we go crazy. Because we've been hit since time immemorial, doing everything wrong. So, generally speaking, what we should do is just find out to do something right. Part of that may be asking forgiveness from a devotee if we offended them unnecessarily or inadvertently. But the other thing is that we shouldn't dwell so much everything I'm doing wrong. We should also think about what I should do which is right and how to do something right better. And then the things we're doing wrong will naturally disappear. The main thing we're doing wrong is we're trying to be either Radha and Krishna. So if we become a servant of Radha and Krishna, then everything is perfect. And the servant of Radha and Krishna's devotees. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantaraj, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.